it's funny because there are some people that I regularly look at on Sunday mornings because they have such like an encouraging face. Some of y'all look mad, though. I will say that. All right, so let's talk about thorns, right? Thorns. This is our reactions. Thorns reflect how we most naturally respond to heat. Okay, our most natural response to heat. In other words, you know, somebody cuts you off in traffic, right? What's your natural response? Yeah. But that's you know where your heart's at, right? You know where your heart's at when that happens. So, anyhow. So, fruit or thorns, and we've talked about this verse a number of times already, right? Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert, shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. And that's really where I think it's important for us to again, going back to our hearts. And so our hearts determine so much about who we are. Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord. This is the opposite. Whose trust is the Lord. Like a tree planted by water, sends out its roots by the stream, does not fear when heat comes. Leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. And then how we respond to the heat is a signal of what's going on in our heart, and we can respond godly, right? We can. And so the idea of I can't, right, is not true. It's not. We read it earlier. Like, no temptation has overtaken you, such as is common to man. God is faithful. He won't give you more than you can handle, but with the temptation, we'll provide the way of escape so that you can endure it. Right? So we can never say, like, I can't. I can't say I can't anymore. How's that? This verse keeps going. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately sick. I think King James says wicked. Okay. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And so we're not just blind to our sin. We're often blind to our blindness. We don't even know we're blind. And so we really need God's grace to expose our sinful hearts. And we need one another to point out thorns. And I think, and really unintentionally, a lot of our theme this morning has been community. The importance of community in the life of a believer. You know, we joke about it in our church and, you know, saying that, you know, 60 to 70% of our congregation came through our counseling ministry. And one of our requirements is if we're counseling you, then you have to come to Community Bible Church while we're counseling you. Now, there are some churches in our area that, fantastic churches, that we say, listen, if you're going to that church, do not come to our church. We don't want you at our church. We want you to stay where you're at. But we make it a blanket statement. And so what's funny is because so many of our people came to CBC because of that, they think when other visitors come, oh, their lives are probably pretty messed up. they probably need grace. They probably need me to be hospitable. They probably need me to be kind, right? Because they recognize this person's probably hurting. Even though they come in with a smile. Why? Because people fake it. Right? So the idea of community is, again, not just to know people, but to be known by people. And so we have to weed out, we must weed out thorns, right? Before planting the garden, we must confess each sinful responses to life. And so there's a list, and I think it's in your notes, and I think it's just a really good list. We're just going to kind of go through, is various sinful responses. That, by the way, we have these sinful responses, and we blame other people for them. Okay? Sensuality and every kind of impurity. I can't tell you how many people, men and women, will commit adultery and blame their spouse. Okay, so very simple response: lying, destructive anger, and destructive anger rather than righteous anger. Okay, Stealing, corrupting talk, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, all from Ephesians 4. Malice, sexual immorality and all impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking, deception with empty words, works of darkness, secrets, shameful sins, foolishness, drunkenness. How about this one? Deny, avoid, or escape. So he comes, and our response is we deny it, right? Deny our part in, try to avoid, try to escape, or we magnify. Become prickly and hypersensitive. Boy, sorry. I got $7. Listen to that. To return evil for evil. Okay? To be bogged down, paralyzing, and captured. You know, that happens to a lot of people. He comes and they do nothing. Nothing. They can't function. To be self-excusing, self-righteous. So what is the real problem? What do you guys think? It's the heart. It's the heart. It's always the heart. Well, the real problem isn't I had a bad day. But we use that though, right? That's what we say. No, I'm sorry, I just had a bad day today. Listen, your bad day does not give you permission to vomit all over me. Excuse, right? Just excuse. Well, other people. My body made me do it. I can't help it. Right? The heart wants what it wants. A painful past. And our excuses focus on heat instead of admitting a sinful heart. Why do you think it's hard to admit? Starts with a P and ends in ride. That's it. You guys all got it. And you're brilliant today. So the heart of the problem, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And so that's what we've been saying. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. And all sinful behavior grows out of a heart captured by something other than Christ. And our favorite saying, we do what we do because we want what we want. And so we must recognize and confess the heart motives of our sinful responses daily in order to stay in communion with God and to grow in Christ. The heart of the problem, a bad root grows up into bad fruit. How'd you say that, Steve? Root fruit.
You root.
The root.
Now I forgot.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah, you'll know the fruit by the root.
Whatever it is, the fruit you're going to get.
Yeah, you'll know the fruit by the root.
By the root, that's it.
Yeah, you know the root by the fruit. Yeah, you'll know the root
by the fruit.
Yeah. So a bad root grows up into bad fruit. Wrong responses to life result from wrong thinking, which result from corrupt heart desires. So it's just wrong thinking. Pam Norman calls it stinking thinking. Okay. A lot of times we just have stinking thinking. We just think bad stuff. And so Ephesians 4 says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. You see where it starts at? It's in our minds, right? They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to, what's it say?
Hardness of heart.
They have become callous. They've given themselves up to sensuality, greed, and practice every kind of impurity. Really, that's where we're at. And so our heart includes our innermost thoughts, our emotions, our desires, and it can grow dark. And so our desire is that we were made to live differently. Is this in your notes?
Yes.
Okay. So we are not to live like Gentiles. That's the old way. That's the thorny responses, right? We're not to do that. We're to live like Christ. It's a new way. It's a fruit tree. And we are to be prepared for spiritual conflict when you begin to change. Here's what happens in marriage counseling. I would think Steve would agree with this as well. First 3 weeks, it's like a honeymoon. Everything works really well. And as soon as you start getting life patterns that start to develop and good things happen, Satan's going to attack. Something's going to happen, right? And it's going to hit. And a lot of times it's like, okay, we're done. This Bible stuff doesn't work. expect it. You're now an enemy. Okay? Expect that that's what's going to happen. And so, I like this. He kind of gets personal, right? What are your thorns? Complaining, laziness. Is this in your notes?
Yes.
If it is, I'm not gonna belittle you by just reading it all out. Maybe we can show of hands. Where are these right now? Anybody here? When have you given into anger or envy? Maybe husbands, just share about your wives on this one.
Nothing to say.
Just perfect.
What are you wanting that you're not getting? These are really, these x-ray questions. Brad Bigney calls them heart questions. I think I've got a list of about 25 of them. I usually break them down into sections of five, and I either give them as homework or I ask them during the counseling session. And a lot of times I'll say, now it's going to get into more counseling, you know, questions that you would expect that a counselor would ask. What are you wanting that you're not getting? That's just a good question. Is there something you love more than God or your neighbor? What are your fears, hopes, and prayers? What do you feel you need right now? How would you define success or failure? Like, really good type of questions to be able to ask. What does the Bible call these sins? Well, sensuality. That was Abram's adultery. Imagine Abram. Imagine that conversation, right? Sarah's mad because he went into Hagar. And he says, what are you mad about? Well, you're having a baby with Hagar. Yeah, but you told me to. Well, I didn't think you'd do it. Lying, Abram in Egypt. Destructive anger, sinful anger. See that in Cain. Stealing, Jacob and Laban. Corrupting talk. Okay. Hands gossip. Bitterness. I'm not going to read this verse because we've already done it a few times today. Too often we excuse sinful desires because they once were good desires. And when good desires become ruling desires, they become sinful desires.
And we make these excuses, right, where we'll say, I think Steve said earlier about church being the other woman. It's easy to get there because it's a good thing. You know, your ministry becomes your priority over your family. You know, one of the things I remember telling Josh when he came on staff with, what, five kids with, you know, under 7 years old or something like that. And I was like, you need to focus on your family. And we need to get your overflow in the church.
Life-changing to hear.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen a lot of, we'll use worship pastors. I've seen a lot of worship pastors fired because of their family. I've never seen one fired because of their lack of musical ability. Right? And yet, what is the church? They keep pouring on more and more and more. Right? We're thinking long-term here. And so good desires can become ruling desires. Good things can actually be sinful things, right? Desire says I want. Demand says I must. Expectation says you should. Judgment says you didn't. Punishment says now you must pay. These are good, aren't they? Really good.
So how do we get from there to there? We talked about this earlier. Remember, when you take the cross out, right? So you behaviors can change without Jesus. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, behaviorism. You can change without Jesus, and so that's why we'll often say that. And people are really shocked to hear this, but our goal in let's say marriage counseling, like our goal in marriage counseling is not so that at the end you have a great marriage. Our goal in marriage counseling is at the end, you glorify God whether you have a good marriage or not. Ooh. Right? That's the idea. I have learned to be content in all things. right?
Things and old things.
Yeah, I've learned. Means he didn't know it before.
Yeah.
I have learned to be content with all things. Like, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret. Learned. The secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and in suffering need. Then he says, I can do all things through him. I can win or lose and glorify God. Right? I can have a great spouse and not glorify God. Or I can have a terrible spouse and still glorify God because of my heart. Okay? It is not required of you to have a fantastic husband or wife in order for you to be the person that God has called you to be. That is sometimes some of the most shocking thing that you will tell somebody when you're counseling them. Because it's usually, if he would only start doing this, then I would start doing that. So behaviorism is true. Yes, sir.
It's, it's a new thing, you know, what I heard this morning. If you preach that in the church, you know.
Yeah, it is a very new thing. So a funny story, right? Nobody's sleeping, just a funny story. So I'm in Africa a few years ago, and a guy, we were talking about forgiving and forgetting. And I said, listen, we're not designed to forgive and forget. If you forgive and forget, there's something wrong with you. You either have amnesia or you have Alzheimer's. And one of the pastors said, Mike, I just preached last week that you're supposed to forgive and forget. And I thought, oh man, how do what I say now? And one of the other pastors says, do you forgive and forget? Asked the pastor, he said, I don't preach to me, I preach to them. Easy, man. It's easy. Yeah, this is all for them, not for me, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not required of them to have a godly spouse. It's just required of me to have a godly spouse for me to do my part. Yeah, it's behaviorism. You can change. Mormons change. Muslims change. Buddhists change. You can change without Jesus. But you have no eternal fruit outside of Jesus. Right? Without me, he said, you can do nothing. Nothing. Eternally speaking, nothing. Let's keep going. All Christless solutions miss the heart of the problem. Okay, all Christless solutions miss the problem. We worship our way into sin, thorns, so we must worship our way out of it. That's a great quote.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. We worship our way into sin, that's our thorns, so we must worship our way out of it and never bypass the cross. That's the gospel primer, right? That's the preaching the gospel to yourself every single day. That's why you can have an ungodly spouse and still be a godly one. That's why you don't have to live vicariously through your kids. You don't have to have a good boss, nice neighbors. And so John 17 says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And so there is it's a daily heart, Don said it earlier, surgery. It's daily, just going back to the heart.
It's painful.
It is painful. It's heart surgery without anesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
Because you kind of need to feel the pain of it all. Pain's a great motivator, isn't it?
You never want to go back to it.
That's right. Yeah. All right, good. Well, we're ahead of time. Woo-hoo. All right, so let's take about 5 minutes, and then we'll have our last talk for the day. And then I'm hoping we can do some Q&A. I'm also hoping we can do one more song. I just love the sound this morning of the singing in this room like this. So I would love that. And then there's an article that I would love to read, if we have time, from the OIC director in Ukraine, who gives his perspective about war and how we react to it in a biblical counseling fashion. So let's take about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and finish up our day.